Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin at verse 23. Matthew 24, this is one of the seven great prophecies of the New Testament. There's a lot of prophecies in it, but there's seven great or long extended ones, and this is one of them here. Matthew 24, verse 23. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. As I mentioned this morning, I want to speak tonight on the subject of UFOs and ETs. UFOs and ETs. Most of you probably know this, maybe some don't, just for clarity. By UFOs, that's an abbreviation for you, unidentified flying objects. And ETs is an abbreviation for extraterrestrial or extraterrestrial beings. Usually here, when we hear these things, we as believers in Christ snicker and laugh and dismiss it. And the church really has had no answer for it. It is becoming the fastest growing belief system in the world. Belief system is what the world uses as buzzwords for what I call religion. It's becoming a very, very fast spreading religion in this world. And I want to address it tonight. I've never addressed it before, but I hope to address it and equip us with answers for this growing phenomenon which over one half of Americans believe in. A brother in the Lord by the name of Brother Gary Bates wrote a book entitled Alien Intrusion, UFOs and the Evolution Connection. Alien Intrusion, UFOs and the Evolution Connection. It was the first book ever written by a creation scientist, and Gary Bates is a creation scientist from Australia. He's since moved to America. But it is the very first creation book to ever crack the top 50 list on Amazon.com because there is so much interest in the world about this subject of aliens today. Brother Gary has studied this for many, many years, and it has led him to write this book and other articles. After personally searching from a Christian point of view the phenomenon of sightings of UFOs, theories on the existence of extraterrestrial beings, and alleged alien abductions. He has searched these out from a Christian perspective. As I mentioned, although we snicker at some of these things as a church like this, many in the world do not. What is our Christian response to this subject? What is our biblical response to it? Returning from Arizona and New Mexico recently, my wife and I took a week and a half vacation over in those states, and we were surprised at just how much New Age activity there is in that area of the world in every town we went to. Occultism and the belief in the extraterrestrial, aliens, course, the most famous being in Roswell, New Mexico, where every single year they have their symposium on the extraterrestrial and UFOs and so on, and in Roswell, New Mexico. But we not only saw its influence there, we saw its influence in other parts of New Mexico, Silver City, in Sedona, Arizona, Flagstaff, Arizona, up by the Grand Canyon, and then all through Phoenix and Tucson, where people are very, very open about their belief in psychics, palm readers, tarot card readers, New Age occultism, and the paranormal, as well as the extraterrestrial. Now, in my little life of 53 years, I've noticed patterns in our country that often what is believed in the West spreads to the East. And this is becoming something that at one time was just cute movies and something we snickered at and mocked people out. But not anymore. There are people meeting by the thousands and thousands and thousands in these cities who, if you put a stack of Bibles next to them, would put their hands on those Bibles and swear that they have had encounters with the extraterrestrial and would become quite agitated with us and irritated at us narrow-minded Christians who would dismiss their experiences. Gary has attended these as a Christian. He attends these just to get information. He attended the 2009 symposium, which was just back in November here a few months ago. And there are actually museums in these, in Roswell and these places where people can go, and just as maybe we would go to a science museum or something, they would have all kinds of displays of so-called extraterrestrials and UFOs and so on and so forth. And as Gary was making his rounds, he noticed a group of children looking at what was a so-called autopsy of an extraterrestrial being, and he noticed that the children had become quite disturbed by this display, and the adult giving the tour said, "It's okay, kids. They're here to help us." Now, anybody with any common sense knows that children believe what adults tell them. If you give them a book and the first sentence says, "Hundreds of millions of years ago, dinosaurs roamed the earth," and you start to give them books like that when they're in kindergarten and first and second grade, by the time they're teens and adults, that worldview is entrenched in their minds and their hearts and their psyches, and we are up against it trying to get that out, because they have heard that so often. And we see now that this has become a theology. It's okay, kids. They're here to help us. Jesus said in the last days there's going to be many false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You tell children about evolution. You tell them about the Easter Bunny. You tell them about the Tooth Fairy. You tell them about Santa Claus. You tell them abortion is okay. You tell them homosexual behavior is normal. Whatever you tell them, they tend to believe whatever an adult says. And it's awful hard sometimes to deprogram them. More and more children today are being taught about UFOs and extraterrestrial beings, and the result is that it is beginning to captivate the mind of a generation. We are being challenged as Christians, as it's been Gary's experience, with questions like, how do you know there isn't life on other planets? How can you be so narrow-minded? You haven't been there. Nobody's ever been there. How can you know for sure? And what is our answer? What is our biblical answer to these things? In the last couple decades, scientists have actually began, and I put that word scientists in quotes, scientists are actually beginning to claim in recent decades that the Earth was seeded by extraterrestrial beings from which life then evolved. Now that'll make you laugh, or it should. But that's no more far-fetched than the theory of macroevolution. UFO enthusiasts see aliens as benevolent beings who would set society right, bring peace and superior technology, quote, for a golden age on our planet, end quote. Sounds like a substitution for the millennium to me. It sounds like they are setting up belief in the extraterrestrial as saviors. Let me read it again. Aliens are benevolent beings who would set society right, bringing peace and superior technology for a golden age on our planet. And so there's many who are looking to them for our salvation. We are being taught in the mass media of the world today that human beings are destroying this planet and we need to be saved from ourselves. We need the government to help save us. We're destroying the climate, we're being told. We're bringing about climate change and pollution and all kinds of things. And we are being set up to believe that human beings are destroying this earth, and we're not. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But decades ago, the seeds for this began to be spawned in popular movies and TV shows, and which include extraterrestrial encounters, alien abductions, body snatchers. And this has gone on, and some have grasped onto this as truth. So that polls show that a majority of Americans believe that life exists on other planets. Gary says this includes church members. His experience, and I'll quote him, he says this, quote, pastors would be surprised, in fact, quite shocked, how many people are in our churches that have seen something in the sky or have had some experience that they've never spoken to anybody about or don't know how to speak to anybody about because they're worried about what people might think, end quote. And there are people seeing things. I think it's because of the prevalence of alcohol and drugs and things like that in our country. We live in a drunken country, in a dope addicted country, and we're told that sorceries, which is the use of pharmakia or drugs in the last days, would deceive many people. One of our members was in an induced coma recently for about 2 weeks. And she came out of that, and I said, what was that like? And I said, did you have any weird dreams? And she just started telling me things that she started seeing while she was in this induced coma under legalized and controlled medication. Questions about alien life are dangerous if left unanswered. Just like questions about evolution are dangerous if left unanswered. Do not presume your children believe in creation. Somebody may have been playing with their mind. Talk about it at home. Questions about evolution left unanswered often lead even some of the people who've grown up in this church into a worldview that's contrary to the revelation of Scripture. And now we come to this, another question we have to deal with, and that is the question about alien life. And if we leave this unanswered from a biblical point of view, it's dangerous and could further overthrow the faith of some that God has given to us to be good stewards about. With the fascination and with the confusion about UFOs and ETs in the world and in the church, we need to address this topic. This topic goes back to origins. And it is something that the human race has been struggling with since the 1870s, since men like Charles Lyell and Charles Darwin began to spread a theory of origins that the world never had to deal with, apart from God creating all things or some supreme being creating all things, and that was this theory of evolution. Life, no matter where it's from, and I'm trying to give you now some answers. You know, the scripture says the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer in Proverbs 15:28. And there are people that have questions about this, and they're living around us. It's not the most important question we'll ever deal with in this church, but it is something that once, at least, I want to deal with. But since the 1870s, there has been a great debate over origins. Now, all life, whether it's on Earth or some so-called life on some other planet, we can come to this conclusion. There must have been an origin to that life. Does that make sense? There must have been an origin to that life. And if there was life on another planet, our response as believers then should be to those we talk to, was that life created or did it evolve? Because life can only exist out of those two mechanisms, creation or evolution. Now we know that life did not evolve on Earth. We don't believe in macroevolution. We don't believe it's possible. We don't believe it's scientific. We believe it's never been observed, nor can any experiment bring it about. We believe in extremely intelligent design. And brethren, if it's simple, it's complex. If somebody says something's a simple cell, kids, there is no such thing. A simple cell is extremely complex, and that's where Darwin went wrong. He never knew of the complexity of a single cell like we do today. If he did, he'd have never propagated his idea. He did not think his idea would stand the test of time. Life did not evolve on Earth. It was created. Therefore, life did not evolve elsewhere in the universe, which begs the question that we should answer, and that is, did God create life elsewhere? Did God create life elsewhere? Does the Bible say anything about this? Well, first of all, that would violate the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God himself came in human form to this earth as a human being to die for human beings. The Bible says Christ died once for all. He is not going to be crucified and raised again or on another planet. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 10, we read, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's why I believe in eternal security. Because for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, those that have been set apart by salvation. The Bible says Christ offered his body once for all. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. If you are saved, according to the scriptures, you are a physical descendant of one Adam and no one else. I suppose if you're a Klingon or a Vulcan or something, you don't qualify for salvation. I want you to turn over to 2 Peter in chapter number 3. What I was just saying was that Christ came to this earth. Christ suffered once for all forever. He is never going to die for anyone else. He is never going to suffer for anyone else. In fact, over in 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now then, notice what's going to happen to all of God's creation someday in the not too distant future. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." The heavens, notice that, plural. "And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth," singular, "also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then," notice carefully, "that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." So if there are intelligent, sentient creatures out there, allegedly that God created elsewhere, we see that they cannot get saved. And we see that they will be burned up someday when the earth and all of the heavens shall melt with a fervent heat. Peter mentions that twice in three verses. Now, what kind of a moral and just God would do that? And so we believe that Christ's death on Calvary's cross is our answer to whether or not there's life anywhere else. Because he came to this earth and he died for us. He died once for all. And the Bible says he'll never die again. He'll never be sacrificed again for any of God's beings. Then number two, we address UFOs and ETs as a replacement theology. Because as I mentioned earlier, it teaches that aliens have replaced Jesus Christ as the ones we should look to bring us our salvation and to bring about, as we read earlier, a golden age on our planet, who will set society right, who will bring peace and superior technology from their planet. Our scripture that we began with teaches us about how in the last days there are going to be false Christs, false messiahs. Gary Bates says this, "UFO cults are the fastest growing religious groups on earth today. And as he studied them, as he has gotten into their culture, as he has lived among them," listen to this, we don't hear this in the news, "they have false Christs, false messiahs, you name it. It's being fueled by our popular culture, and that's the big problem. When you get deeper and deeper and deeper into the UFOs and the ET culture, it is a religion. And they've got their own false Christs. And they've got their own false messiahs. We're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people who believe some false Christ, some false messiah is coming. They believe in that just as much as the Jews believe someday their Messiah will come to the temple, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. And they're looking for it. We've got to be saved. We're destroying ourselves. And so they're looking. The conclusion of this alien phenomenon is a spiritual deception used by Satan to lead people away from biblical truth. It's one more distraction. You know, I've said this for years and years and years. I've said this, that if I was the devil, I would just keep inventing more and more and more and more religions. Until the human race got so confused, they said, why even bother to try to find out the truth? Wouldn't you do that? If you didn't want people to be saved, if you didn't want people to look to Jesus Christ, I'd just keep inventing religions. That's what I'd do if I was the devil. And people are gullible. And the Bible says Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. He creates these lies. He creates these deceptions. And I think he has the means to do that. I think our Bible tells us that he can produce sights and wonders in the skies and in the heavens. Even Jesus gave us an insight once into the devil. Jesus himself said in Luke 10 and verse 18, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He saw something. Jesus saw something. We cannot underestimate our adversary. We were at a church in Flagstaff, Arizona. We went to the Wednesday night service. 9 people showed up. The preacher's been there 34 years. I got a lot of respect for him. He said, Pastor, he says, they ripped our cross off of the wall of our church on the outside. They've painted things. They've threatened us and so on and so forth. He said there was a time when on the 7 hills around Flagstaff, they'd put a satanic priest on every single one of those hills, which would pray against the churches of Jesus Christ every Sunday morning. He says, this occult is so entrenched in our society, it's hard to reach people. They're so confused. They live in such delusion around here. That's all. It is a delusion. It is a spiritual deception. See, the word Antichrist, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18, John gives us some insight into the last days. And he says, this little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist should come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. He says, the Antichrist is coming. All right? That's the beast. But he says there's many antichrists. And the fact that there's many antichrists tell us it's the last time. Jesus said there'll be false Christs. And people will be running and saying, he's here. People will be running and saying, he's here. And interesting, what we read earlier, people are saying he's in the desert. And man, my wife and I just spent 11 days in the desert. All desert out there. Jesus said, don't run over there when they say he's over here. Don't run over there when he says he's over there. He says, don't you worry. He says, wherever the eagle is, there will the carcasses be. Or wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. Jesus is the carcass. He's the one that died for us. Where the eagles will be gathered together unto him. Don't worry. Don't go looking for him. He's going to come looking for us. He's going to come to the clouds. Voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's looking, he's going to come looking for us. We have to look for him. Don't be running around when people say, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is false Christ, false messiahs. It's a religious system. I know they probably put up with people snickering about the UFO movies and the ETs and movies and so on and so forth, but they're gaining more and more disciples. And they just say, you hold on, someone's going to come from outer space someday and going to save us. Yeah, I know who that is, dude. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to set up a golden time on earth, a millennium of righteousness and peace. And the lamb is going to lay down with the lion and so on. The nature of animals is going to be changed. The nature of sinners is going to be changed. They'll still be sinners, but they won't be tempted to sin. And we're going to rule and reign with Christ. See, the word Antichrist has two definitions. Number one, it means in the place of Christ. And number two, it means in opposition to Christ. A person can be Antichrist, maybe a secular humanist, an evolutionist, an atheist, an agnostic, in the sense that he is opposed to Christ. But an Antichrist can be somebody in the place of Christ, an imposter, something that looks like the truth that others follow. There are many antichrists whereby we know it is the last days. ETs are in the place of Christ. They've come to help us. They've come to save us. The senses today are being bombarded by movies and books and museums and conspiracy theories about all of this, and often the church gives no answer. Jesus warned us about this. Mark 13 and verse number 22, Jesus said these words. He said, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Even some believers, just some pastor, how do you know there's not life out there on some other planet? Even some believers are beginning to waver on what they once most assuredly believed among us. It's a distraction to a day. It's a distraction today to a country that is becoming more and more secular and less biblically literate. It's a distraction. It leads to confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 reminds us that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let me say it finally, number three, there is one earth. There is one earth. When you study the Bible, we find out that the word heavens in the plural is used 127 times in 127 verses. The word earth is found in our scriptures in 906 verses, and never once is the word earth used in the plural. Never once will you read the word earths in the Bible. But 906 times you will find the word earth is used in the singular. The devil will do anything to deceive anybody. Paul told Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We're almost done here. 1 Corinthians 15 sheds some light on this. In verse 40 it says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. In other words, there's celestial, that is heavenly bodies, and then there are terrestrial or earthly bodies. Verse number 45 tells us about the terrestrial body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. It's a very important statement there. The first man, Adam. I believe the Bible is truth. I do not believe it contains any lies in it. I believe God said what he meant and meant what he said. The first man was Adam. The first man, Adam. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, Adam, is of the earth. Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So the first man God ever made was Adam. And Adam is of the earth. And there is only one earth. Now keep your place here and go back to Mark chapter 10. When did this happen? Well, we got to ask ourselves, did Jesus speak the truth? What did Jesus say? In Mark chapter 10 and verse number 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. When did God make man male and female? From the beginning of the creation. That's what Jesus said. I want to trust him more than I do Hollywood, or more than I do occultists, or more than I do people who study the paranormal. I want to trust Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the beginning of the creation of God is defined by the making of male and female, making a man. And the first man was of the earth, earthy. Going back to verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, as is the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. In other words, everybody else is just like Adam, of the terrestrial beings, and everybody of the celestial beings is just like the Lord. It is the angels that have kept their first estate. They're perfect. They're without sin. They're not deities. So the Bible says the beginning of God's creation was Adam. He was of the earth, earthy, and everything else, every other creature after that is also of the earth, earthy. There are celestial beings. We acknowledge that. The Bible says so. Some of these celestial beings today are either angels or devils, demons. And they are very real. Angels have certainly taken upon themselves human form. Hebrews 13 and verse 2 said that some have entertained angels unaware. And there may be times of sights that even Jesus admitted, as I mentioned earlier in Luke 10 and verse 18, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. So ETs would have had to have been created after Adam, because he was the first man, Adam. And God never lies. And the beginning of the creation was with Adam and Eve, male and female. And with that in mind, let's close and turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Genesis 2 and verse 1 says this, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. That's what the Bible says about creation. So the issue is, we can show them what the Bible says. We can say, look, God did everything in 6 days. The heaven and the earth we're finished, and God puts this also at the end of verse 1, and all the host of them. Finished. No further creation. Is the Bible true? Comes down to the credibility of the Bible. And we can share that with people if the question ever comes up. And then they say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Then your next question is, why don't you believe the Bible? Why wouldn't you believe in the Bible? And then you can go into the things we've talked about previously, the prophetic accuracy of the Bible, the scientific accuracy of the Bible, the historic accuracy of the Bible, the archaeological evidences for the Bible. 4,000 times it implies, either directly or indirectly, that God gave the word. Why wouldn't you believe in the Bible? I believe the Bible answers this question. I believe it answers this question. We don't have to believe in UFOs. We don't have to believe in extraterrestrial beings. We believe God made his creation and finished it in 6 days. That every single human being is from Adam, is of the earth, earthy. Everyone after him is of the earth, of the earth. That's what it says. We read it, of the earth. God finished it all in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Well, tonight we've looked at a different subject. I've never preached on this before in my life. Maybe never will. I don't know why, but I don't know. But I just wanted to get it out there. Get it out in cyberspace, amen, on the internet, and have people think about it, and also hopefully maybe have equipped you to answer some of the questions that are sure to come eventually as we talk to people. So hope that's helped tonight. I just want us to close now in a word of prayer.